For some of you in the younger generation, I guess God is fire, right? Praise God. But I hear Sarah saying it all the time. That's why I'm sitting up here. But, you know, as we look at this, right, God is fire, right? God is all, he's that step, not just fire, but he's every piece of energy. That's what we're talking about over this first or second quarter of the year, right? Is renewable energy, right? And the new life. So God is that renewable energy, right? And praise God, you know. So, you know, I'm glad this morning, right? It's 55 around, it's nice and, you know, a little bit of rain falling, the sky is grey, this reminds me of home. This is Ireland. You wonder why there's like, you know, 50 shades of green, right? This is why, because this is what we have all year round, right? Praise God. But so as we get into the Word of God this morning, you know, it's awesome to actually start to really ponder on what God is doing in each one of our lives and how it is that God is impacting each one of our lives, right? And, you know, we've been talking about renewal energy. We've been talking about a brand new start. This month, we're talking about a new life, right? But I want to try and really bring all that together and show how God is our renewable energy, right? He gave me the actual title this morning as What's Your Carbon Footprint, right? And we know there's a lot of talk about a carbon footprint, right? And the easiest way to say that, I guess, is what is the negative energy that you have left once you've consumed your energy, right? Whatever energy, not just you, but whatever energy you're using to do whatever you need to do, what is the negative footprint that's left, right? That's what carbon footprint is. And to bring that into a spiritual sense, if you will, right, we can ask the same question. What is the negative energy that's left after you have spent your energy, right? Is your energy pursuing after God and the things of God, or is your energy pursuing after religion and all the other different things that could be out there, right? And we're going to go through that today and see how we can take it from being a negative energy source that's left to where there's just continual renewable energy, and that is the new life that God has given you and he's given it to me. And as we start to live out that new life, we will see that God is the source of just renewable energy. So praise God. So I just want to look at a few things first before I open up in prayer. It says renewable energy, right? What is it? Energy from a source that is not depleted when used, such as wind or solar power, right? So the wind just keeps blowing. It doesn't matter. It just keeps going, right? The sun continues. But, you know, if we look at the world from a biblical standpoint, right, we know the sun is actually burning down and burning out and will one day be folded up and put away, right? And the same way as the wind. The wind will one day cease because there is a new heaven and a new earth, right? But when we look at what is truly renewable energy as we go through this, God is renewable energy. He's outside of his creation. He is the energy that gives everything that has energy its energy, right? So that's his energy is just continuing and continuing and continuing and is never depleted, right? Non-renewable energy is energy resource includes coal, natural gas, oil, and nuclear energy, right? Once these resources are used up, they cannot be replaced, which is a major problem for humanity as we currently depend on them to supply most of our energy needs, right? So again, what is it, and again, I don't want to get too deep into this, but what is it, I just want you to get your mind into this place, what is it that's driving you in your Christian walk today? What is it? Is it God's renewable energy? Or are you trying to go to services? Are you trying to go to men's prayer? Are you trying to go to Wednesday night Bible study? Are you trying to go to, you know, different areas to continually give you energy to continue with your walk before God? Or is God your source? Because if God's your source, if the Holy Spirit is your source, you will have renewable energy. You will have continued energy to do that which he's called you to, right? So the difference between these two types of resources is that renewable resources can naturally replenish themselves while non-renewable sources cannot, right? This means that non-renewable resources are limited in supply and cannot be used sustainably, right? And we know that to be true, but if we continue to tap into what God has for us, we will continue to just grow even in our strength and grow in our energy, right? And the new life, because we're talking about both things. We're talking about renewable energy and new life, right? It can have different meanings, right, based on context. It may mean a rebirth or revival. You know, you ask somebody, have you been born again, right? And they're like, oh yes, I've had many lives. You know what I'm saying? It all depends on what the context of that question is, right? You know, so we have to be, you know, as we look at the context of any one thing, right? We have to make sure we're all speaking on the same term, on the same language, right? So it can be a rebirth or revival, right? It can be moving to another place or country, right? Changing your career, recovering from an unpleasant experience. So as we look at this, right? Well, before I get on to there, right? So moving to another place or country. When I moved to this country, right? I had, you could say I left a negative carbon footprint leaving Ireland. There was a lot of animosity between me and my dad. There was a lot of, since then, it's been all resolved, but that's what kind of drove me out of Ireland, right? I came to this country thinking, wow, all right, I have a new start, a new life. And I looked at everything possible that could give me the energy I needed to get me out of, because no matter where you go, you can't run from your problems. Your problems will follow you no matter where, even if you go across the ocean, right? Your problems will still follow you, you know what I'm saying? Because the problem is with you, you know what I'm saying? So you can't run from you, right? So, and I was trying to run from me, and in the first, I guess, 5 or 6 years that I lived in this country, I had 14 different addresses. And I didn't even realize at the time, it just seemed normal to me, you know? But when I look back, I was running from something. You could think, you'd almost think I was someone who was on the run from the cops or something, you know? Because I was changing my address so often, it seems like I didn't want to stay at any one place. But I was running from something until I finally found the Lord, you know what I'm saying? And now I started to get peace. Now I started to have a place where I can actually come and realize that my strength doesn't come from this world, doesn't come from the things of this world, right? So many of us are looking after, you know, out there right now, they're looking after drugs, they're looking after sexual encounters, they're looking after alcohol, all these things. And every time, it may give you energy or may give you, a time where you could actually have fun for a moment. But the next morning, what's the next morning? Every single person will tell you, you're depleted. You're depleted, and maybe even for days afterwards, right? And if you continue that lifestyle, your body will just continue to deteriorate. Well, God, as our renewable source, right? God says, the very spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you, giving life to your mortal bodies, right? So that's the renewable energy source that we need. That's the renewable source of energy we want, right? And again, so I want to just see here in Christianity, new life refers to newness of life that comes through faith in Christ Jesus, right? And that's what we want to talk about today. What does that renewable energy look like? And how is it that we can start to live according to that and use that renewable energy, not leaving behind a negative carbon footprint? But where we go, now where we go, we leave life. That our footprint is life. Not even a negative energy, but it's the complete reversal of that. Everywhere you tread, you're leaving life behind you. You're leaving actually energy where life can actually be sustained, right? So praise God. So I just want to, before we get into the Word of God, I want to open up with a word of prayer. So if you just probably heard me in prayer. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for, Lord God, just bringing us, each one of us here, oh Father God. Lord, I ask, oh Father God, that you open up your word to us today, Lord. Lord, pierce our hearts, oh Father God. Cause us, oh Father God, to be able to hear your voice, oh Father God. Hide me behind your cross today, oh Father God. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you deliver your message to each and every one of us. You know our situations. You know our needs. And I ask, oh Lord God, that you would be the one who would just deliver a tailor-made message to each and every one of us. And Lord, that you would anoint our hearing. That even as we hear your message today, O Lord God, that we will be cleansed by the washing of your word. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So as we go through this, we're going to look into God's word, right? This is what the scriptures say about new life and renewable energy, right? So we saw what the world's renewable energy looked like, right? But here in Isaiah 40, 28 to 31, it says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is unscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths may grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. That's the renewable energy we're looking for. You know, that is the renewable energy. Everything else pales in comparison. And we have to find, how do we tap into, you know, see, yes, you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop at there. Yes, all that energy is now potential energy for you, because the energy is in you, right? It's available to you. But do we tap into that energy? Or do we continue to look to the world as our source to drive us and to feed us and to actually give us peace and to give us happiness, right? The only way we'll get it is by going to the true source of renewable energy, and that's the Lord, right? And again, in Philippians, it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And him there is Christ, right? We know that, right? So we can do all things, not just some things. Anything that the Lord called you to, he will equip you for, right? So you can do all things. That doesn't mean you can jump off a cliff, right? That's not what the scripture is saying. It's saying that you can do all things that God has called you to. So we need to be in touch with the Lord and realize, what is it that you're calling me to, Lord? What is it you're calling me to? This I can do all things that you've called me to, because it's Christ. So the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the one who strengthens us to do what we need to do, right? And in Colossians it says, strengthen with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously, right? So we are being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of steadfastness, that we can continue and stay the course, not be distracted, not be knocked off course, but we'll be steadfast, and have patience and be joyous, right? There, that's if every one of us had that every day of our lives, right? I mean, really, we would be, this world, this church would be a different place, right? If we were operating in that every single day, if every time we woke up, we were operating that every single day, right? It's just amazing. And as we look at it, we have to adjust our focus. And the same thing here, we have to adjust our focus. The world is not your source of renewable energy. It is not even your source of energy. If you are using it, you will leave a negative impact behind you. But if you're using God as your renewable source, life will be left behind you, right? I saw this thing on Facebook, and it was a guy, he's saying, if I give you, or I'll even say to you, if I give you $1 million, right, would you be happy with that? If I give each one of you $1 million, right? Or let's say if I give you $10 million, right? But the only stipulation was that tomorrow morning you cannot wake up. Would you take that $10 million? So basically what we're saying is that waking up in the morning is worth more than $10 million. How many of us wake up with that in our mindset every single day? That this morning when I woke up, it was worth more than me having $10 million in my bank account. Right? We have to start refocusing our thinking and start to think on the way that God wants us to think, and look to God for his renewable strength, for his renewable energy, for his renewable love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Right? These are all the things that God just doesn't give them to us. They are of the Holy Spirit. They belong to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, and now he just pours them forth from us. Right? And that he is the one who sustains and continues to work through us, right? So again, here it says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And that's where God is calling us. He's calling us to hear from him. He's calling us to know what he is saying to us. And as he speaks to us, then we go. So you might have a 5-year plan today, but God might speak to you in your prayer closet tonight, and that plan can change and should change. You know what I'm saying? As long as you know that it's God, you know what I'm saying? that's the part that gets tricky for some of us, right? That we have to know, we have to verify that with his word. Even if you're not sure, bring it to other people where there's many counselors, right? Plans succeed, right? So God is calling us to do all that thing. There's nothing wrong with bringing a fleece before God. But this is where we should be. I'm moving on God's instructions, not on my plans, right? So, where do we start, right? After all that, where do we start? How do we get to that place? That all sounds great. And yes, it's raw, it's energizing, but we have to have a plan for putting that into practice in our lives. How do we make that be a part of our everyday life? How do we make that, how do we start to make that our life and our source of renewable energy, right? How do we actually plan out our day so that we can tap into that renewable energy, right? In 1 Corinthians it says 14, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints, right? So God is a God of order. Look at creation. Just look at creation. We can't, and we don't have to go any further than that. We don't even have to go down to what he did in making us. But just look at creation, right? God was perfect in every single thing that he did, right? Even the axis of gravity, right? If it was a hair off one way or the other, the entire universe would either implode or explode, right? Perfect, right down to a minuscule, right? The oxygen we breathe, it's got a very low tolerance that if it's too high, we die. If it's too low, we die, right? But it is sustained by God's hand, right? And, you know, these are all the things that God is a God of order. And we have to realize that God has an order. He has a plan for our lives. We can't just say, well, I'm saved and I'm just going to start trying to wing it. You know what I'm saying? God's not a God of winging it. God does everything by plan, and he knows the plans that he has for us, right? He knows the very plan that he had for you when you were saved. He says that he saved you unto good works that were established beforehand. So God knows the good works he saved you unto, right? And we have to know those. If you buy a new car, if you buy a new phone, if you buy whatever it may be, whatever it is that's beyond maybe your comprehension to fully understand right off the bat, right? What do you do? If you want to know it, you start looking at what the features it has. You try to understand the features. You go to the user manual, right? Here's the user manual. This is our user manual, right? If you can't find what you're looking in the user manual, right? Who do you go to? You go to either the service, you make a service call, a prayer unto heaven, right? Or you go to the creator, the one who actually created the very thing that you're trying to find out about, right? And that's God. So how can we assume that we're going to be able to live the plans that God saved us unto unless we're checking in with him? Checking in with him regularly. Lord, you know, is this what you wanted me to say to that person? And if it's not, it's okay that we mess up. We're going to mess up. But we can go back to God and say, Lord, show me how I would do that better. Show me how I could do that better next time. Show me how you can improve in my relationship with you can improve. So next time, I hear straight from you. Before I even open my mouth, I hear from you. You know what I'm saying? And that's where God wants us walking. God is a God of order, right? So as we go through this, I want to go through the different things. And I don't put me under too much scrutiny here, Mario. I'm building the structure. But this is a basic guide, right? on how you would build a structure, right? There might be a few steps that are out of order. Remember, I'm not the Lord. The Lord has perfect order. I'm just giving you an example, right, of how to structure things, right? So we building a structure, we develop a blueprint, right? That's the first thing we do. We get the drawings together, right? We dig to find a solid ground, right? Then we build a strong foundation. We construct the exterior. And we install the roof, insulate the structure, start shaping the inside, and add all the utilities, right? Right? So if you're building a house, you're building, this is what we just did, right? The structure was built, but we had to do a lot of work to get it to what it looks like today, right? Building relationships. You develop a strategy for choosing friends. You may not even realize it, but you are weeding out friends you've always been, right? So we're developing. So to do it better, we develop a strategy for choosing friends, right? You get burnt a few times and you start to learn a strategy, right? Spend time with them doing stuff. Once you've actually befriended people, you start spending time with them. You learn each other's strengths and flaws. Learn to manage disappointments and victories. Determine the level of commitment per relationship. You place safeguards and boundaries. Start to trust and depend more on each other. And perform sanity checks. Every so often you're like, is this person still good to be my friend? You know, is this relationship still good, you know? and that's what we have to do, right? And these are all the things that we do naturally, right? We do these things naturally. Everybody in the world, whether you're saved or not, these are things that people do, right? So we were built in the image and likeness of God. Every human was. whether you subject yourself to him or not, whether you admit that he's your Lord and Savior or not, you still follow these patterns. Every one of us do. Whether we get them right or wrong is different. We all follow these structures. But here's what it looks like, what we have to, how we follow as we're coming to a relationship with the Lord, right? Right? As God draws us, we start seeing the light. Right? So as God starts wooing us, God starts drawing us, all of a sudden our eyes start to become open. We start to see things differently. We start to see our sin. Our sin starts to become more obvious to us, right? And then God brings us to salvation via events or friends, right? We accept and learn to trust Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit begins to change our hearts and minds, right? This happens to everyone. You know, I think Mario was going to say it. Coming to Jesus is just like a scientific experiment. It's repeatable. This happens to everyone who comes to Jesus. These are the steps that happen to us, right? I'm not the only one. I'm saying this from my experience, but I guarantee you, each one of you have had the same experience, right? And then the Holy Spirit's begin to change our hearts and minds, right? We begin to trust his promises, right? We let go, allowing God to be in control. Then we often lose focus at this point, and we plateau. You know, where we should be going deeper, where we should be digging deeper, right? We've gotten to that place where we've allowed God to get be in control, right? But then we start taking back control. We start to say, well, you know what? Yeah, me and God are working on this, right? And we start to, you know, use different language than in the Bible, right? And we start to justify how, you know what, instead of us saying, well, I didn't hear clearly from God, let me go back and make sure I hear clearly. We say, well, I think this is what God said. But you know, the danger in thinking this is what God said is the enemy has a voice too. You know? And we have to be careful that we are hearing the voice of God. God's will for our life will never be outside of his word. So we can go to his word and see if God's word in our ears, in our prayer closet, if his will for our lives lines up with his word. If we're still not sure, he's given us a body of Christ, right? To sharpen each other. One man sharpens another, right? Right? So, yes, but then we stunt the natural growth of the fruit and the works. Yes, we may plateau to a certain place. We may get the fruits. We may see some fruit. We may see some works, right? And then we can start getting frustrated. And then we start saying, well, where's God? We start, you know, kind of starting to figure out ourselves. We're still saved, but we're walking lives that are not being renewed by the Lord. We're not depending now on his renewable energy. And it's only his renewable energy that will bring life to us and to all those who come after us. So we have to get past that point of plateauing. Because there's no point that you will get to in your life where you can plateau on the Lord. No matter how deep you go, he's deeper still. No matter how broad you go, he's broader still. No matter how high you go, he's higher still. Because he's outside of the very creation that our minds are actually structured under. Right? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Right? Who are we that we would instruct God? Right? We have to be the ones who say, Lord, I'm not hearing from you correctly. I need to hear from you. And continue in that prayer until you do hear from God. You know, the Holy Spirit is alive today as much as he was in the book of Acts. He's speaking to his church just as much as he was in the book of Acts. What happens is oftentimes we plateau. We get to a certain point and we're like, all right, wow, I'm so much better than I was 5 years ago. Okay. But God has a plan that far supersedes where you are today. He wants us to continue to grow, continue to mature, continue to impact, right? Because we are here not because God wants us to, you know, be saved and sit in a recliner. He wants us to be saved and to impact the world. For what reason? Jesus ushered in the kingdom of God, right? The full measure of the kingdom will be here when Jesus returns, right? Because in the kingdom of God, as he taught us in the Our Father, the prayer that he taught to his disciples and to us, right? It says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, right? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God, that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, God rules. there is no second guessing or questioning God's authority. Right? So let His will be on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kingdom of God. And when Jesus returns, His will be on earth as it is in heaven. Right? That's what the new earth and the new heaven is. God will be the ruler of all. Right? And we, and His will, and His will is a good will. His will is one that is good for us. His will is one that will sustain us, will continue to give us renewable energy, will continue to leave life behind us. But we got to get beyond that point of plateau and dig deeper. Expand your desire to learn more about God. Don't just stop and say, I've been saved, I know, I come to service, and the pastor says this, and the pastor says that, or I go on YouTube, or I go on whatever, and I hear all these podcasts. No, search the Word of God. Search the Word of God and see if what the pastor is saying, or the YouTube minister, or the podcast, see if they're saying what the Word of God is saying. Now you can be edified. Now you can be built up. Now you can continue to grow in the Lord. But first, you have to be in the Word of God. First, we have to be in prayer before God. And then as God speaks to us, He will have someone confirm His Word. He will have someone confirm what it is that He's saying in our lives. And if we're continuing to look at that, we'll go beyond that place of plateau and allow the Lord to lead us and guide us in all that He has for us, right? I love this. It says, do not worry then, saying, what will you eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing, right? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. What's our biggest concern today? How do I provide for my family? How do I provide for me? How do I make ends meet? How do I this? How do I that, right? God's saying, yeah, the Gentiles are already worrying about all that stuff. All that stuff. I'm not saying abandon your job. I'm not saying quit your job in the morning. I'm not saying that. But the job you have, right? God should be the one who gave you that job, right? God should be the one who's directing you on that job. The interaction that you're having on that job, the growth you're having on that job, all are at the hand of God, right? So he's saying, right? Would seek first His kingdom, right? And what's His kingdom? That His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So if we're seeking God's will to be done in your life, ultimate, then we have to subject ourselves to His word, to His will, to that place of prayer. And if God's word contradicts my thoughts, then I need to come under subjection to God's will. I need to come under subjection to God's word. If you need help clarifying, understanding, sometimes it is hard to understand. Even Peter said, sometimes it's hard to understand what Paul wrote, right? Even Peter says that in Scripture, right? But there is plenty of people out there who will help us. Go to God in prayer and say, Lord, enlighten your word for me. Show me. Because the Holy Spirit is the one. This word is spiritually discerned, right? So anything that I can give you, Pastor Shelley, Pastor Raphael, anyone in this church can give you, first has to get it from the Holy Spirit. So no matter what anyone else says, the Holy Spirit, I'm giving you secondhand information, right? I received it from the Holy Spirit, and as flawed as I am, is as good as you're getting, right? You know what I'm saying? So you have to, so what God wants is you to get firsthand information, and for this to confirm that. Because if He's already given you the information, this should confirm in your heart what God is already saying to you. And you need to seek His will on earth as it is in heaven. That's what seeking the kingdom is, right? And then His righteousness, obviously, you know, that His righteousness, right? And all these things you'll have to work for will just be added to you. You will just be walking and life will be following you. Energy will be following you. God will be continuing to bring life to all of your resources, right? But that's the only way it can be done. The world is searching after all of the ways. They're searching after every other way there is possible. God said, I am the way, right? Right? He is the only way, right? And we have to subject ourselves to that truth and then subject ourselves to that to his kingdom. Lord, let your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. That means that you have full access, full authority. And where I am weak, where I fail, where I stumble, Lord, I bring that to your altar. Lord, I bring that to your altar so that your grace can cover me. So you can burn that out of my heart so that I no longer desire after what is not of you. Right? We can't do it ourselves. No amount of willpower will give you the ability to walk away from sin. You may be able to avoid it. You may be able to sidestep it for a while. But the enemy will find a spot where you're weak, where you're tired, where you're in turmoil, where you're in chaos, and he'll bring that sin right back, and we'll fall again, you know? I liken it to when I was, before I was saved, I was in the world, and I used to drink socially, what I would consider socially, 6 days a week. that was socially for me, right? I was socializing while I was drinking, right? But, you know, and when I came to the Lord, I read that I cannot do that anymore, right? So I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm gonna. This is my life. All my friends, all my activities, everything revolve around this. That night, literally that night, God took away any desire that I have for drinking. So I was still living the same life. I was still going out with my friends, but I was drinking Coke. Right? I was going to Ireland to weddings, and a wedding in Ireland is a whole week affair, right? Where you start drinking the week before the wedding, and you continue the whole week until the wedding's done, right? So I was going back to weddings in Ireland. I was going back. We had 3 kids, so we had Bridget and I and the kids couldn't go back. So now I'm going home without the wife, right? And I'm in Ireland. So they're all like, well, perfect scenario. Let's go get drunk, right? I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. You know, and they're like, they just could not. I mean, it was mind blowing, right? It was like I was walking on water. That's how mind blowing this was. Literally, I mean, it really was. And the awesome thing was that I had so much opportunity to witness because of that. You know, and you know, and I'm saying that because we don't need to be strong willed. We need to be delivered. And that's the difference. When you're delivered from something, you no longer desire after it. It no longer is a hold in your life. The enemy can hold up alcohol all day long, and I have no desire to drink. None. None. I don't care what trouble I face. It's not a resource for me to go and find solace. It's not a, you know, it's not a resource for me to go wash my troubles away. It just brings more troubles, you know? But so this is what I'm saying. There's nothing that can replace that renewable energy, that strength that God gives us. We have to, and the only place you find that is in the kingdom of God. You have been brought into the kingdom of God. Once you were saved, you are now a citizen of the kingdom, right? That kingdom is here. Jesus ushered in his kingdom. Its full realization will be met when Jesus returns. Yes, but you are a kingdom citizen. We need to learn how to live as kingdom citizens. We need to learn what it means to have God's will be on earth as it is in heaven. Why, let God's will be in my heart as it is in heaven. Let God's will rule my life as it is in heaven. So when God says, it's not, really, you think that's a good idea? It's no, it's yes, yes. Right? Yes and amen. Because God has plans for my life. Plans to not to harm me, but to prosper me. And not just me, but for every person who comes into his kingdom. And the only way of coming into his kingdom, the only way is through Jesus Christ. So if you're online today, if you're listening to this, and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you now. That's the only way to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the gatekeeper, if you will, right? And you can only enter in through the gate. There is no way to climb the fence to get in. The fence is too high. And the fence is just your sins piled up, right? That's the fence, right? Jesus has made a way through that because he has taken on all those sins that he's made a way for us to get through, right? So we have to start to learn how to be kingdom dwellers, kingdom citizens, right? So do not worry about what tomorrow will bring. Tomorrow, because each day has enough trouble of its own. And we know that. Listen, just because you're a kingdom dweller, just because you're seeking after God, maybe even more so because you're seeking after God, you will have trouble. right? You will have trouble. But the thing is that God is the one who gives us peace in the storm. He gives us energy when we're tired. He gives us strength when we are weak, right? So no matter what trouble you face, God is the answer, right? Trouble solving equals God. It's that simple, right? It's that simple. There is no other way. You can look for all the other resources. The world is looking for every other option there is. But we should not condemn them, because Jesus did not condemn the world. He said, I did not come to condemn the world. The world already stands condemned. But I came to save, that the world may be saved, right? Right? So that's what we're here for. We are here to do the will of God, right? And we'll see what the will of God is as we go through this. We already know it, but we'll just see it as God brings it out in order here, right? So, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, this is Jesus, right, being asked about the kingdom of God, right? Jesus is the one who introduced the kingdom, right? He's the one who says that the kingdom is now at hand, right? So we know that Jesus ushered in the kingdom, right? We know it's fulfillment, that God's will be done on earth, as it is said when Jesus returns, right? But so here it says, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. So don't look for signs. Don't look for signs and wonders. Don't look to signs and wonders to be evidence that the kingdom is here. The kingdom's here. Jesus came, he ushered in the kingdom. Jesus rose from the dead, he ushered in the kingdom, right? He has brought you in, right? By grace, you have been saved. He has brought you in by mercy, right? He is the gate, right? The gatekeeper. You have entered in through Jesus Christ, right? So don't look to signs and wonders. Yes, the signs and wonders are encouraging. They can be, if they are of God, right? But that's where the confusion can set in, you know what I'm saying? Because the enemy can do signs and wonders too. You know, so we have to be careful what we're looking towards. We know the kingdom is here, right? Don't look to signs and wonders for it, right? Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst, right? And Jesus was in their midst, so he brought the kingdom with him. He brought the kingdom of God to earth. And when he comes back, yes, the will of God, right, will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven, right? That's what we're waiting for. The entire creation is groaning even after that, right? So we will have trouble. We will have difficulties. We will have time where we have to dig deeper into the Word of God, where we sit before God and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. That's okay. God knows you don't know what to do. God knows you don't have all the answers. But what God's answer is, I do. I have the answers. And if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, then that'll just follow you. Your answer will actually follow after you, right? So, you know, we have to start to learn how to be kingdom dwellers, right? So it says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it may be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck? Oh, did I miss one? Hold on, let me go back. I'm sorry. I missed the scripture there, I think. Oh, well, so there's one more scripture there, and I guess I must have deleted it by accident. The Lord didn't want it in there, but that's okay. He just wanted this to be our evidence that we know that the kingdom is in our midst, right? Now we have to start to understand, how do we live according to the kingdom? How do we, God is a God of order, right? We know that, right? How do we bring an orderly fashion to our lives so that we start to more often walk as a kingdom dweller, then looking to the world, being distracted by the world, succumb to the pressures of the world, right? And it's here, right? It says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. No, that's so. I'm going to skip through this five, because I must have put in the wrong scripture. But that one is not the one I wanted. So it says, well, so we go on, right? So 7:6 says, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces, right? So again, we have to use wisdom. This is where You can take everything I'm saying here, right, and get so energized and so passionate about it, and we can run out and start doing our way, right? But we have to start learning that living in the kingdom is a kingdom that's structured by God. It is a kingdom that is actually ruled by God. It is a kingdom that is done by everything that's in that kingdom is done by the will of God. So we have to learn how to operate in that kingdom. And God says here, right, when we're going out, right, not everybody that you witness to will receive your message. Not everybody that you speak to is going to want to hear what you have to say, right? So God is saying, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and in turn and tear you to pieces, right? Allow the Lord, yes, if that person does not receive what you're saying, rather than getting into arguments, rather than getting into fights, rather than getting debates about stuff that will only lead further away from the kingdom of God, retire from that and pray for that person. Allow the Holy Spirit to do his job. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who actually pierces hearts. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings light into darkness. The Holy Spirit is the one who did that to each one of us. Right? Because someone was praying for us. Right? And we now, by the grace of God, are kingdom dwellers. And it's the same thing. We have to start structuring our lives by what God's word says. And as we start to do that, we will start to learn the parameters, what we can and we can't do. You know? Yes, we have free will, and that's a whole other sermon. I'm not going to get into that right now. But our free will is to subject ourselves to God. We have a free will to subject ourselves to God or not. That's the basic premise of our free will. And as we subject that free will to God, then God will direct our will, right? He will order our steps. And then our free will be used in its creative measure, in whatever way God knit us together in our mother's womb, whatever way he caused me to be me and you to be you, right? He'll bring that flair to your ministry work. He'll bring your personality to bear, and he will send you to the right person. So that person will hear what you have to say in the way that you are going to say it, right? And they will respond, right? Because that is God's plan for each one of us. His desire is that we would be the hands and feet of Jesus. We would be reaching out to those who are being lost, right? And that he would use us for the purpose of bringing the gospel message in a way that they will hear it and they will respond to it, right? And again, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to whom it knocks, it will be opened. And I just want to pause there for a second, because so often, right, we find ourselves in a place where we're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking, and we're like, Lord, nothing's opening, right? And that's a question that each one of us are going to struggle with, right? Because no, we do not know the mind of God, the perfect mind of God, right? We do not know the perfect will and plan of God, but it is our job. It is our place to come and sit before God and say, Lord, if you say, everyone who asks receives, if I'm not receiving, Lord, show me why. Lord, show me what's in my heart. Show me what it is, why I'm asking the wrong question. Show me why I'm asking in the wrong way or pointing my efforts in the wrong way, right? And if you're seeking something and you're not finding it, ask God, well, why is this still hidden? Allow God's will to be that which guides us to our lives, right? Don't take this and say, well, if I ask, listen, my ask would be for a Mercedes-Benz out there when I walk out, right? But God knows the pride that would follow that in my heart. It might be fine for someone else, right? But I know that every time I get into that Mercedes-Benz, there will be a temptation to be prideful, right? So that's not for me, you know what I'm saying? So that's fine. God has shown me that, right? But what I'm saying is that just because we ask doesn't mean we're asking according to God's plan, according to God's will. So when it says, that doesn't mean that the scriptures are now null and void. It means if the scriptures are saying something that's not agreeing with what's going on in our lives, we need to dig deeper. We need to come to a better understanding. We need to hear God clearer and allow the scriptures to actually now start to correlate with our lives, not vice versa. We're not asking our lives to be that which proves scripture, right? We're asking the scripture to be that which brings our lives into order, into subjection to God, right? And what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? For if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Once again, if we're not getting what we're asking for, if we're not looking what we're seeking for, ask God to show you. Ask God to show you why. And then start to change your search. Start to change your question. And as God starts to confirm that in your heart, allow God's will to be done in your life as it is in heaven. Then we will start to actually understand what it means to be a kingdom dweller, right? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets, right? Enter through a narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Once again, we know that Jesus is the way. We have to. There is no other way. There is no other way to enter into the kingdom of God, right? But we have to understand, once we're in the kingdom, how do we live as kingdom dwellers, right? So Matthew 7:21-27, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and your name cast out demons, and your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Ouch. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, notice a while, but okay, maybe compared to a man who built his house on a rock. You'll be here for a while. And the rain fell, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And we have to be founded on the rock, you know? We have to make sure where it is that we're placing our trust, where it is that we're placing our hope, right? And, you know, I just want to go back here for a second. It says, we have to be sure that as, you know, none of us want to get to heaven and hear, you are who? Right? That's not the statement we want to hear. We want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, right? Now is the time to do that. Now is the time to prepare for that and to learn how to be a kingdom dweller. Right? Now is the time to say, Lord, is my heart right before you? Am I seeking? Am I, as I ask, am I receiving? If I'm seeking, am I finding? Lord, if I'm not, show me how to come into alignment with your word, with your plan, with your purpose, right? So as you go through this, and Jesus came up, right? And spoke to them, saying, all authority has given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go teach them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Right? Praise God. So there was a lot that got, I don't know what happened. Somehow, there was a whole section there that was meant to address kingdom living, right? And basically, I'll tell you what it is anyway. We won't go through point by point, but it was the Beatitudes, right? If you look at the Beatitudes, right, and we look at each one of those points, right, that is kingdom living, right? And if your life is not aligning with all of that, right, then we have to start asking God, well, Lord, what is it that's out of alignment in my life? What is it that's out of alignment in my heart, right? Where is it that I have missed the perfect call you have had upon my life? Where is it that I have missed what you were desiring for my life, right? And you know, every one of us, as God calls us to that place of salvation, he called us for a purpose. He called us with a plan in mind. He called us unto good works that he had established beforehand for us to do, right? To walk in, right? So if God called us to those things, then it's our job to find out to what it is that God is calling us to. Because I could easily be living a life that I believe is honoring to God. Right? But that's not being a kingdom dweller. Because now I'm doing what I think is honorable before God. And it may even be align certain to a certain amount with Scripture. Right? But what God is saying, let my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So find out what the will of God is for you in your life, right? Yes, the Beatitudes are part of it. Maybe that's why God left it out, because you know what? The Beatitudes are not enough. You have to go through the entire book of the Bible, right? We got all day to do that, right? But you have to go through the entire book of the Bible. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, as you're reading the scriptures, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and confirm to you his plan, his purpose for you. And once he does that, don't let anything distract you from that. Don't let anything in this world distract you from that. Don't let any lie from the enemy saying that you're not good enough, you're not old enough, you're too old, whatever it may be. If God is calling you to that, God will be the renewable energy that sustains you through it. He will be the one who gives you the energy. He will be the one who gives you that energy, and it will leave life after you. Because that's what we are. We're meant to be people who produce and bring life, because that is what God is. Anywhere God goes, there is life. Anywhere God goes, there is life. If you look at everything that God has made, it is self-sustaining, right? Right? By God's command. Because God said, let there be. That's why it is. You know what I'm saying? It's not because it all of a sudden just appeared. And that's the same thing for us. We can. Because we are people made in God's own image. We have the ability to be creative. We have the ability to do things that enter into our minds. Right? We have a body that can sustain work. We have a mind that can sustain inventions. Right? All these things we can do. But are they according to God's plan and purpose for our life? Right? That's the only thing that will bring life. It's the only thing that will sustain life. And it's the only thing that will actually be continually be renewed. So if you're in your Christian walk and you find yourself heavy, you find yourself depleted, and now I'm not talking about being depleted because you're doing too much, because that's also not in God's plan. Right? But if you find yourself being depleted, then stop and say, Lord, why? I know that you are the source of renewable energy. I know you are the one who gives strength to my body. I know you are the one who is giving life to this mortal body. Then why? Why? Even as David said in the Psalms, right? Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Right? The one who will bring us out of that, the one who will restore us from that, the one who will be the energy we need, the direction we need, the answers we need, are all found in God. And we find that in his word. We find that in worship. We find that in prayer. We find that in communion with the body, right? All those things. But ultimately, what it comes down to, you have to hear it from God. You know, I know that you can say, well, I don't know if I'm hearing from God. Well, then stay longer. You know, there's no other way. I can't give you any other source than stay longer before God. If God is not answering you right off the bat, then he's calling you to stay longer. That's his will on earth as it is in heaven. So if we're not doing that, then we're not living according to his kingdom rules. If you don't live according to the worldly rules, you get in trouble, right? So why do we expect that if we don't live according to kingdom rules, we also won't get in trouble, right? So we have to start learning how it is to learn to live as kingdom dwellers. You were no longer citizens of this world. You were in this world. You were not of the world of men. You were of the world of our Father who is in heaven. And that is your eternal dwelling place. So let's start now. Let's start living that life now. And it'll be continued for eternity. You know what I'm saying? Let's start living that life now so that even now we experience the same joy here. It's possible to experience the same joy here. You know, you look at so many men in the scriptures, right? You look at Paul, Peter, all the apostles, all these men that it talks about, right? Their lives were not easy. They were going through persecution. You know, Peter was hung upside down. Paul was persecuted, and he was eventually put to death for his belief, right? But he had joy. Look at his letters to the churches, right? He's not sitting there mourning, complaining, oh, I'm in prison. I can't believe the Lord is doing this. I don't know what God's plan is for me. That's not God's. That's not Paul's testimony, right? Paul's testimony is he knows the God he serves. He knows the God who knocked him off his high horse, right? And cause him to submit to kingdom living. So I want to leave you with that. I mean, I think it's actually fits in perfectly, very well. So you guys weren't up here much longer than you need to be. But I guess there you go. This is God's perfect will, right? So we're living according to kingdom lives, right? God's making an example even of this, right? That we bow to his authority, right? It doesn't matter what my plan was. It doesn't matter what I had on there. God said, no, I don't think so. Not for this purpose, right? So even that, God has given us an example. It's got to be his way. Not my way, not your way, but God's way. And if you're not hearing from him, if you're not being energized, if you're not being fulfilled, dig deeper. Stay longer. Lay aside the things of this world. The things of this world should no longer have an attraction to you. And if they do, say, Lord, take the things that are attracting me from this world out of my desire. Deliver me from what I'm desiring of in this world, so that I would desire after yours. You know? We are kingdom dwellers, right? I lived in Ireland at one point, right? Now I live here, right? Yes, I had to change the way I live from both places. But I don't want to live the way either place lives. I want to live the way the kingdom of God lives. That is my citizenship. I may hold an American passport and an Irish passport, but the only passport that matters is the passport that I hold in Christ, right? That is the only passport. And I want to encourage you, if you're not feeling the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're not feeling the joy of the Holy Spirit, if you're not feeling the love, the patience, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit continually emanating, not just every now and again, but when it's not, stop and come before the Lord and say, Lord, shut yourself away somewhere. Put on some worship music and sit before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to deliver me from this. I need you to deliver me from whatever it is that's causing me to live this way or attracting me this way. Because I want to live as a kingdom child, not as a child of the United States or whatever. I want to be a kingdom child. So I just want to encourage you to really pursue after God this week for that, and to understand what it is to have the will of God, right? Be on earth, be in your heart, be in your life, be in your home, as it is in heaven. Right? So praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing better than you, oh God. Hallelujah. We've searched it out, oh God. And we come back to you, oh God. You are the source. We glorify you, Lord Jesus.
Praise God. So as we leave here today, I really want you to just motivate or focus and be motivated on the fact that God is your renewable energy. The Holy Spirit in your life, the Holy Spirit in your heart, the Holy Spirit in your home, the Holy Spirit in your walk before God is your renewable energy. And as we continue to look to him to be our renewable energy, what will be left behind, our carbon footprint, will be life. It will not be negative energy. It will not be something that is depleted. But it'll be life, and it'll be life-sustaining. And where you go, life will follow. Your kids will follow. Those who are in your job, if you're living a life that is energized by the Holy Spirit, people will follow. Because people will see the light of God, and they will desire after it. You can't. If God is working on someone's heart, he's going to work on someone's life, right? And he's causing you to be the light in their lives, right? He says to be the light on a hill, right? And as you start to live according to God's perfect plan, life will follow. People will start to notice. And you will be energized. You will have a joy. You will have a love. You will have a peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of that will be just working in you. And that will be attractive to those who are in your sphere of influence. So I just want to pray today that God will continue to put that on our heart, that He is our renewable energy, that He is not just our, but He is our new life. That the Holy Spirit is the one, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit is the one who's giving life to our mortal bodies. So I urge you to let the Holy Spirit give life to our mortal bodies. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for your message, Lord. We thank you that your will was done here today, oh Father God. That your will was done even beyond our will, oh Father God. And Lord God, I just ask you, Father God, that you would begin to teach us, each and every one of us, Lord, what it is that your will on earth is for my heart, for my life, for my walk, for my home, for my job, Lord. Let that be each one of our prayer before you this week, oh Father God. And going forward, Lord, that you would show us how to make your will be that which governs each and every step we take. Lord, we ask, oh Father God, you open our ears and we would hear what you're saying. Open our minds so we'll be able to comprehend your word. Open our hearts so we'll be able to receive what you are saying to us, Lord. And allow, oh Father God, us to submit all of these things that are distracting us in this world to be submitted under your authority and to be delivered from them. Lord, I thank you. I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory, Lord. I continue to lift up all those who are in this body today, oh Father God, who are even sick amongst us, oh Father God, that you would, oh Father God, be the I am in each and every one of their situations, oh Father God, that you would bring deliverance, that you would bring peace, that you would bring healing, oh Father God, and that you would be glorified, oh Father God, in each one of our lives. Lord, I thank you. I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The altars are open if you need prayer. In Jesus' name.